Hi, I'm Wayne Deacon, Global Executive Creative Director and Principal for Wolf Olins. This is Untalented by Unknown and Canva.
Wayne.
Hello.
Tell me what you do. But the catch is I'm a 10-year-old. I'm an infant.
10-year-old. Okay. Okay, I can do that. I am a creative person. What does that mean? But I'm a sort of a person in charge of like a group of creative mad people and strategists, and I'm sort of like part detective, part designer, part architect. So I sort of build shit, design shit, and uncover shit.
Oh,
basically.
I love
and
it.
Obviously you're 10, so I can't swear at you.
No, but so, yeah. I am a, you know, I'm quite up with what's going on when it comes to swearing when I'm 10. all right, what's something that's helped you move faster in your career?
Talking shit? No, never. I think, I don't know, that's a good question. I think I'm a little bit like a dog with a bone sometimes. I get fixated on things and I like, if it's right for the client, if it's right for the work, then I'm sort of like going to make that happen. So yeah. Pig-headed, I don't know if there's a better directness. I'm sort of like got a background from Scandinavia as well as Australia. So I have this mix in my DNA. And I think that, I sort of keep that hidden. Yeah. Not because I want it.
Not anymore.
Yeah. But like, so I can be quite direct and I can be quite forceful. But I think sometimes I sort of like am just pig-headed.
Yeah. I think
in a good way.
Yeah. Knowing you as long as I have, it's your ability to tell stories to people who are completely unaware of what's about to be told, you know, like what's going to be pitched to them. And it's in a really thoughtful way as well. So that's what I think.
I'd also say like with the pig-headedness becomes being nice.
Yeah.
I think people underrate the power of being nice and kind.
Yeah.
And I know it's probably not the most sexiest thing in sort of like whatever year we're in, 2025. Yeah. But I think if you want to bring people on a journey with you, you should be nice.
I totally agree. And then the final quick fire, I want to talk about money. What can the top earner in your industry earn?
Oh, you know, it's a big question.
Yeah.
Big price tag. I don't know. I mean, for me, I guess it's like you shouldn't be focused on the money. You should be focused on like, because like you could take a job and you get paid for it, amazing, but are you going to be happy? And I think, and are you going to sell your soul? Maybe you want to, but like, you know, we are talking 6-7 figures that some people can earn, but that's not the driving force. You shouldn't be thinking like that. I think it should be about sort of what do you need to do the job and feel comfortable? Because I think money is not the driver.
Yeah.
It's not for me anyway.
Yeah, love that. Right, now we're going to dig a bit deeper into design, that topic, which I know you know so well. Yeah. All right. Tell me what's overrated in design right now.
Ooh, controversial question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Punchy.
Okay. Honestly, I think motion, overuse of motion. Motion is amazing, right? We need brands to move and be dynamic because that's the way the world is with digital and stuff. Sometimes I see motion being relied on too heavily to cover up ideas.
That's interesting.
Case in point, you know, D&AD's Port-au-Rouge work for Nike. I thought that was beautiful. Didn't have loads of motion baked into it. It was like simple, direct, clean. Shouldn't praise other agencies, but you know, fair credit, everybody raises a bar, we all raise the bar, and I just think there's too much reliance on motion to do the heavy lifting rather than ideas. We should be about ideas first, and design is the expression of those ideas.
That's really interesting. I think you're right as well. I feel motion or elements of motion can be a really helpful way to tell a story and communicate a brand, but it can also feel overused to the point where we're getting away from how is this commercially relevant to the world.
So you realize every motion designer is going to hate me now.
No, we love motion designers. I'll look down the camera and say that some of the most impressive. We're just a bit jealous maybe of how
but good motion designers. I mean, I like, for me it's like I think design is what you leave out as much as what you put in, right? It's like great recipes, and I think like the best motion designers understand when to put motion into things, you know, in a product experience, in a digital experience, in a interactive or even a brand sort of experience. Like they know when and to pepper in the right amount. 100%. And that's the key.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. All right. Describe the last time a client didn't quite get it and how you responded to that.
Yeah. I mean, it happens all the time.
Really?
Right. So sometimes, because I think we should be designing for things that are 10 years in the future. And that always means that, like, some people call it risky. I call it exciting, right? And I think it's getting people into the right mindset. So often it's like, it's not because they don't want to get it. It's because you need to make them understand why. And I think, so I've had a case recently where a client loved it, but it's like, that's too far for us. That's too much of a stretch. It's like, well, we don't have to go from A to Z straight away. This is the way we could bring it together and explain it. And like, this is why it's commercially a fucking great idea as well. Right. And, can blank that out, but, but I think it's like the, like what you got to do is resist the temptation to create an us and them culture. It's about us together, right?
100%.
Yeah.
I think that is the key thing there is that they'll probably traditionally see an agency relationship as we've got a project we need doing and that's how you're going to do it. And it's not the, sit with us and let's understand. I mean, the fact that you're even thinking 10 years ahead for that brand, they should be really grateful for.
Hopefully.
Because it's like we can deliver the short-term thing, but also remember what do we want to be known for now that could be in 10 years and feel relevant? No, I love that. Okay. And then next question. If your creative style had a soundtrack, what song would play?
Oh, God. Can I be really cliche?
Please.
Okay. I love AC/DC.
Oh.
So yeah. I like a bit of old retro AC/DC.
Which AC/DC song?
Well, Back in Black. Yeah. Or, you know, something like that that just pumps you up.
Shook me
all
night long, one of those.
Yeah.
Is that banger. Absolute banger.
So as much as it's, I don't know, it's probably not fashionable, but like I love the vibe.
It's coming
back. Energy. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
bring back the AC/DC t-shirt that we all used to wear.
Bit of mad or metal, you know. Like I don't mind, but like something like that that gets you energized as a team or as a group.
Yeah.
You know, you got to feel it.
I love that. Yeah. One add on to that. Now we're on the music topic and that will kill me for dragging this one on.
Yeah.
But you're about to dive into some work or a hard pitch or whatever. You're a bit nervous.
Yeah.
And you need to get your head locked in something.
Yeah.
Earphones go in.
Yeah.
What song plays if it isn't?
Well, you know, it depends. Is it a drill moment? Is it a relaxing moment? What's the vibe of the pitch? Right?
It's like a bit scary. It's a bit touch and go. It's like, we need this one.
Yeah. If that's the case, I might go a little bit left field and start seeing some like Johnny Cash or some country music in the background just to calm me down and make me feel a bit more centered and like relax and let it go.
Bringing back these names is unreal. I love it. All right, next question. What does a brave brand look like to you in 2025?
Yeah, okay. That's a really good question. What does a brave brand look like to me? I think brave brands are ones that really know their center, know their core, and they avoid the noise. Right? Because there's such a temptation to say bit of this for that, bit of that for this, you know, and try and please everybody. That can't do that. I think brave brands just go, this is my center, this is my core, this is what we're going to go for, and we're going to stick to that. Now, that's being either transparent or authentic. You know, authentic's been overused as a word, but I think it's about just understanding who they are and just going, okay, we're not going to be everything to everybody, but like we're going to be the best in our sector, our field, our whatever, right? Mm. And we're just going to love that and go with it. That's what bravery, because bravery doesn't have to be scary.
So true.
Yeah.
But what's a bit of advice you could give to a brand to help them feel more brave in that? Because what I worry about is that let's say you're a travel brand.
Yeah.
You're kind of like, by saying the word travel, you're already thinking of your Airbnbs and so on, or you're expecting the digital experience and the brand and every kind of interaction you have with that product to be a certain way in a similar way.
Yeah.
So what's a bit of advice you would give?
The way I see it is I think brands should always strive to be a category of one, right?
Yeah.
So don't label yourself as a
I love
travel
that.
brand. You know, Uber wasn't a taxi riding app. It's a mobility platform, which is hence it's like it started as a taxi app, but then it became bringing you food, bringing you experiences, connecting those together. And I think what's core is like really understanding who you are and actually trying to say, what area can I own that nobody else can own, right? Because
So good.
like Airbnb is not a travel brand, right? Airbnb is a belonging brand. It's a tribe, it's a community, it's mindset. And I think what's really cool is like that way you can start to go, we know what we are and what we're not. And that gives us a real core center to design against and to create difference in the market,
Yeah,
basically.
unreal. Love it. Okay, next question is, what's a belief you held 5 years ago that you no longer believe today?
Yeah, I think I was probably like sometimes thought that I needed to sort of do bigs and songs and dances and be over the top in my personality, right? Okay. You know, I can be quite a large character
Yeah.
in many ways.
You don't
But yeah. But so, and I think sometimes it's like now I'm more relaxed, I think. And
say.
I think sometimes I feel like I don't have to do the song and dance as much as I did 5 years ago. And that's a growing thing, I
Cool.
think. I think what's really interesting is like 5 years ago, I mean, when was COVID as well, right?
About
Was it
4 years ago,
four
is it?
years
Three or four
ago?
years
Yeah,
ago,
yeah,
yeah.
yeah. So like I think since COVID, like become more human, right? And I think we've become more connected in, as a human race and spirit. And I think that just that as a team person, because I love building teams and running teams and doing all that cool shit, I think I've become calmer than what I was. I think I
Yeah.
was impatient.
Really.
And I was always like, let's get to the top. Amazing, amazing. Got to win everything, do everything. And I think still want to do that, but I think let's take everybody on a journey with me and like and as a group, let's get there,
I
right?
love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, unreal. Okay, there are two final
Oh
questions.
yeah, go for it.
All right.
Okay.
So the first one is, what is the slogan of your life?
My the slogan of my life.
Big,
Oh,
big.
yeah, that's a big one.
Sometimes it's difficult to answer this in 10 seconds, but we're gonna try.
That's a really like that's a sort of sit in the Himalayas, go on a yoga retreat
We
question, isn't
couldn't afford the Himalayas.
it? Yeah. So yeah, if I was to hold a mirror up to myself, what's the slogan of my life? I think it's like I don't want to say just do it because that's so shit, right? But it's a bit like that. It's like go for it.
Yeah.
And I think it's like because I don't worry about following trends or worrying about the name above the door or I'm just like, okay, cool, do this and then that. And it's like do this and that. And just like navigate the right path, basically.
I think that's really nice. I think a lot of people would take a lot from that because the failure thing is never as painful as it feels in theory.
Yeah.
You know, like I think a lot of people think, oh, I can't do that because this will happen, or that like I won't be able to get to here because of it. And
Yeah.
it's never really that deep.
It's never that deep and it's
Yeah.
all bullshit, right?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I've set up an agency, sold it because I realized
Yeah.
within a year that I didn't want to be a businessman
Yeah.
and be in charge of 100 and something people's mortgages and shit, right? Or whatever, right?
Fair
But,
point.
yeah. And I felt like a failure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd made a load of money selling an agency,
Yeah.
you know. And but at the same time, I think that was good
Yeah.
because I think it's sort of, I think you shouldn't be worried about that. It's like it just makes you work out what's next and what's interesting. Yeah.
Totally. And then final question. What is the most unhinged thing you've used ChatGPT for?
The unhinged
Go as
thing.
unhinged as you want.
Unhinged. Oh,
We can
yeah.
bleep, we can.
Loads that I won't put on camera.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man, unhinged. That's an unhinged question, isn't it? So yeah. Oh, I can't think of one at the moment. Not one that I can say.
Pull up the threads.
In
I want to see it.
Yeah. No. So yeah.
No, nothing.
Nothing. Someone will come to me, and I'll message you,
and then I'll AI voice you.
Yeah, AI
okay,
voice
I'll do
you.
That.
Yeah.